Laura, you picked another fucking subtitled European noir drama. What tell us about this, Riders of Justice?
I just love Mads Mikkelsen.
I thought that might have played a
And
part.
I love male bonding.
Yeah, this was a classic Laura pick, actually.
Oh, Mads Mikkelsen and friends getting into trouble,
Yeah.
causing chaos.
Very much the same style as Another Round, wasn't
Yes, I like
it?
it. I've seen it before. I really like it. I think it's a good film. I think it's a really good film. It's flawed, sure. There's things I would change. But overall, I think they did a good job.
Great. Claire, did you just exclaim?
No, I exclaimed.
Oh, you exclaimed.
Yes,
What was
well,
your
hey.
exclamation?
Can't you tell the exclamations of your own wife?
Yeah,
My
apparently not.
exclamation was, what?
Could you develop that theme for us?
Well, how is it like Another Round, other than it was in Danish?
We saw Mads Mikkelsen make some bad choices and put his life onto a downward trajectory with a bunch of new friends that he's very recently got very, very close to. Four guys hanging out, doing some secret stuff no one knows about, getting in trouble, right?
I see. Well, I guess this is why you have PhD.
There we
That
go.
is true. That is true.
Four
That
men, four men, four equals four, same film.
is
And Mads is, of course, Mads.
true.
Did you like the film, Fernando?
I liked it. I did. I did like it.
Great. I also liked it. I thought it was hilarious and made me think a couple of times as well.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Brilliant.
Wonderful. I was getting ready to
Excellent.
be quite angry there for some reason, but I guess it's just the indicative of the mood I'm in, so I'll
Yes.
relax. You all have the correct opinion.
I decided to start really belligerent. I like weird subtitled films. It's great.
I suppose it is my default position to disagree, but I would find it hard with this one to be too critical.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I was a little worried when I was watching it. I thought, well, it's kind of dark humor at times. It's they've got some really serious moments that maybe it jars with the kind of humor they're going for. I don't find that. I think it all gels quite
I
well
thought they nailed
together.
it.
Yeah.
You can really screw that up, you're right. It's a risk, but I guess they just had good writers and good directors.
Well, I'm excited to hear what you liked about it in more detail.
I like the comedy in combination with the really quite horrible narrative. I thought they used it well for relief at times when it can be very tense. Yeah, I thought they had the tone of both of them very well, I thought, which was good. Made it very compelling. And also Mads Mikkelsen.
That's like it's just great. So versatile.
Yeah, it was a different kind of role for him, actually.
He does villains, he does morally grey heroes, drunk school teacher.
Wait, which one was this?
Drunk school villain. Just you wait for the next one. He's going to play
Maybe.
17th century potato farmer.
Amazing. Can't
Sorry,
wait.
maybe 18th century, actually.
18th century, whichever.
Yeah, one of the centuries. He's a potato farmer.
I'll look forward to your pick. Sorry, go on.
No, you go first.
I thought it was really funny, and sometimes if there's a problem when we pick good comedies in this, that there's often just not very much to analyze. It's just it was really great, and we maybe like all say what our funniest one or two jokes were, and then that's the end of it, and we can't really say anything else. And I don't know if we're going to fall into that, but it was brilliant. It was the closest thing I've seen to capturing the magic of In Bruges. This really quite dark, reasonably hard-hitting story, just played off with such irreverence and such sort of so kind of brutally politically incorrect, but in such a funny way that's kind of quite charming and quite kind in its own way.
Not just politically incorrect, or like morally questionable. Some of the things we were laughing at.
Yeah, you're right.
Not just technical PC gone mad.
Exactly. But like, maybe there's some things that you shouldn't joke about, right?
Mm.
But somehow this was just hilarious and brilliant. I think because the humour was about people and was about characters interacting with each other, it wasn't picking on anyone or laughing at anyone vulnerable. It was just all part of it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought all the humour felt very natural to the characters. It wasn't like we were just getting snappy one-liners from them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which a bit like, sort of In the Loop or Death of Stalin, it does feel like a really funny script that's being fired off by, you know, depending on your sense of humour. But...
Yes, yeah.
Well, no, it's quite tailored to characters. Yeah.
With Death of Stalin, for me, the humour and the drama didn't match somehow. They didn't merge properly for me in that case.
Mm.
Yeah,
whereas okay. Whereas this one, it seemed to get it right.
Let's see.
I suppose they weren't really, the jokes weren't about the, like, Death of Stalin is really on the line of, it's joking about mass murder and torture and rape and imprisonment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like this is they had a line where they didn't really cross into, the humour's not coming from the fact that anyone was sexually abused as a child. Or,
no.
You know, that was just the dark edge to, people were using humour to, like, cope and relate to each other, but maybe it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of it came from the sort of deadpan conversations that are funny because they're so horrible and awkward that you would even think to say that.
It was funny watching characters react. It sort of the characters' shock when they heard certain things or saw certain reactions.
Well, should we go over our favourite scenes?
Brilliant. Yeah,
then we'll decide who we were and then we can go to bed.
I liked Emmentaler swearing. That did a lot for me.
Quite a lot. Was it just all the swearing, or was there a particular moment where he was particularly sweary?
I think the first time he did this thing where he was just ramming, like, squeezing curse words into the middle of a sentence where they don't really fit. So he said something like, I'm not fucking going to look at any more goddamn people in piss Denmark.
Vil du ikke nok holde dig til match på danske adresser? Altså, har du overhovedet formelt dig ikke noget nosse fucking match i piss Danmark, siger jeg.
And it was translated for you, but you could also, I guess, because English swear words are all very Germanic, a lot of it came through, and you could understand quite a lot of what he was saying just because he was yelling these expletives. It was really good. I think also partly because you recognize people you know in this, right? The computer science guys were very familiar to me. I've met a couple of Emmentalers who are just furiously angry and, like, just know they're better than everyone else and just rant and rave about every tiny little thing. But, yeah, I could hear someone, just bitching about the monitor they've been given when someone's life is in danger. And I could hear myself in it as well. Yeah.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah. Right, let's go around. Claire, what was your favourite scene?
What was my favourite scene? I don't know. I'd need to think about it.
Laura, I bet you've got one. Read us one of your top three from your list.
I like them all. I like them all as characters. But yeah, Emmett Teller was something special. And I really like any moment of bonding with him and Mads Mikkelsen. So it's not even maybe the funniest scene, but I love the gun assembling scene.
Yes.
Where he's just shocked at how good, you know, he just assembles it immediately. And then we've got the excellent joke of Leonard building his, being like, second place, and it's, you know, obviously a mangled gun that's pointing at him. Yeah. It's just so... It's so good.
Do you know, when I saw that, I thought this is like a scene from Some Mothers Do Have 'Em. This sort of resorting to physical comedy like that is sort of so naff. It's a bit like him getting hit in the face by a pie or something. Just, oh, he built it, and the barrel of the gun's pointing the wrong way. What a fool! But it felt like that earned it.
I'm a simple woman, but I just found it really. It was just really funny.
Yeah,
it's funny. I'm trying to think what else. I'm kind of hampered because when I picked it, I was so excited for everybody to watch it that I watched it straight away. So I haven't seen it for a couple of weeks, which is not really helping me here. But some of it is dulled in my memory, but a lot of it stands out. Like, I was really paying attention, so I can remember it fairly well.
I think the vibe when they were all sort of sitting, like cooking together and then eating together, and this just mad group, with the daughter and her boyfriend, whatever his name was.
Sirius.
And just none of these people should have been in the same room. And it was just, I don't know, it just felt very sweet.
it was
a shame what brought them together, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very human, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of times like that. That kind of thing is lovely. Just when you're with some people and everyone's cooking together and just chatting about this and that, and no one's got anywhere else to be. It felt like Christmas, didn't it?
Not just the Christmas scene.
Yeah, the literal Christmas that they have at the end.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of perfect. we should come back to that as well. Fernando, did you have a memorable scene?
Matt slapping the boyfriend and then wanting to apologize. So I guess recognizing that he did something wrong.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, his struggle with his rage was interesting to see.
I've changed my mind. I think that my favorite scene was when the boyfriend, once they are together for the first time in the dinner where Matt is supposed to be apologizing, the boyfriend is analyzing. Absolutely. Of course you handled the situation the way you did because, I mean, you're a soldier and that's the way that you handle the situation. If you were a yoga instructor, found a different way to handle the situation. And Matt asked, what if you're a baker?
That's great.
And then there's no answer.
I also really like the first time when he, which is, you know, it's obviously a really dark moment where he snaps the guy's neck out of nowhere, and then he walks away for a bit and he comes back and he's like, I shouldn't have done that. It was a mistake.
Yeah, we had quite a few moments of that, didn't we? Him sort of coming down after the sort of rage descending on him. And just, realising what an idiot he's been. Probably about the funniest one, and this was an example of laughing at some quite dark stuff, was when I think it was Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
He chases him across the field.
Yeah.
And then he, like, pulls his trousers down.
Oh, God, yeah.
This is a good example of like that. That's not really a funny thing to be joking about. But the funny thing was Marcus's reaction to it, where he just has absolutely no idea how to respond to that, and he's got so ready to hit the guy, but somehow that's not an option anymore, and he doesn't understand why, and he doesn't. So all he can do is just tell him to stop and go back to the car. And so at the same time, you're kind of worried and you're sad about what's going on. But yeah, just seeing his reaction was hilarious. And so unexpected, obviously.
Yeah, he was a great character, Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a real fondness for Leonard.
Yeah.
I like how he spoke his mind when it was so inappropriate so many times. Just, he could see that he was going to get punched in the face and he just still wanted to, yeah.
He was a very good therapist as well in his own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved all their therapy sessions. And this was, yeah, this perfect male bonding, wasn't it? Them all hanging out and helping each other. And...
Mm. Yeah, I liked his, he's had a nice relationship with Matilde.
Yeah.
Matilda? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Matilda.
I laughed when he was like, "You are fat," or what was it? "You're chubby. You're chubby little salami."
And by luck, he somehow managed to end up saying just the right thing and was actually really helping her. Okay, so I'll dive straight in with this. In the Christmas scene at the end, is that them all in heaven after they die?
Yes. Or
alternatively, is it just like Mads Mikkelsen's dying dream?
Ooh. Is this becoming a sort of episode segment?
I'm sorry I do this every time. It's time for Did They All Die Corner.
Is this the afterlife?
Is this the afterlife? But did anyone think it was a bit weird, that last scene?
I would pick it out as a flaw in the film that everything wraps up so nicely. Maybe not a flaw, but to go from the mass murder of a gang and the murders all along the way to no consequences for anyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No consequence for anyone. And the last thing we had seen was him losing consciousness with Matilda telling him to stay awake.
Mm.
Are we to believe that then it was all fine? I guess we're allowed to think that. But it seemed like a film that would have a tragic ending. Amazing if none of them die. And things like Emmentaler getting his French horn and stuff. And I could just imagine this being the sort of last thing that flashes through his mind as he's dying.
That's a pretty arrogant last thought, is that you think to give Emmentaler a French horn and get to be the hero of Christmas.
Yeah, but wow, you could think another way of it would be him thinking of all the things he should have done in his life and making peace with everything. And it was all just so perfect, wasn't it? They were all sitting in a circle. There was no sense that one of them got to prison or one of them died in the fight or anything like that.
I choose to believe that Marcus survived and that was actually Christmas, because I can't bear the thought of Matilda losing both her parents.
Yeah.
I agree. They're fine. Everyone's fine.
Yeah.
Matilda had just made some really good new friend come father figures, right?
True.
Mm.
Maybe not the kind of stability she might have hoped for. Otto and Leonard and Emmentaler to hang out with. But
It means Otto could have a daughter again.
Oh, yeah.
Get Mads out of the picture.
So you're kind of perfect.
Maybe Otto killed him.
Oh, my God.
He did this whole thing on purpose.
Yeah. That was his plan right from the start. That's why he swapped seats with Mikkelsen. Oh, God.
Maybe.
Then made up all these lies about the guy throwing away his sandwich.
Yep. It all fits.
Yep.
I don't think it all fits.
He's the one that said it. There are no accidents, no coincidences.
Everything happens because of the will of God. That is true. That is true.
He's got an amazing new technology that does something or other.
Yeah. Yeah, he's used it to work out how to
get the trains.
Steal a teenager.
I think that's a really interesting interpretation. Maybe don't write that in the exam.
I think you might have something there, Michael. I think it's open to... I think there's a bit of enough ambiguity that I could be persuaded. But I'm going to also choose to believe that that's not the real...
Fine.
Because I like it better I think if they're all just happy.
If they are all just happy, that is also quite a nice ending to the film. And we had a few jokes, so it's all nice, funny seeing them all hang out again.
Wait, but the ending of the film is just a crazy girl riding her bicycle in circles.
Oh, do you know, that really annoyed me, that the bike was just a different bike. You know how, like, it opened with her trying out the bike and then saying, oh, can I have it in blue?
Yeah.
And then they change, and it's a different sort of crossbar. Like, it's just a different style of bike. So if you're going to go to, like, go nick a bike in Denmark to give to this kid in Estonia, at least get one that's the same, like, style. That really scares me up.
Trust these street thieves.
I've lost sleep over that.
Well, I also thought, as in, why do you have to go and steal a blue bike when you can easily paint the one that you have blue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be better.
I think it's easier to nab a. Yeah.
I just went for getting angry. You think it's easier to steal a bike and move it from Denmark
than repaint a bike?
Than repaint a bike.
Sounds fiddly to respray a bike. I don't know. Looks like you got to cover the tires and...
I think you just take the wheels off.
Well, that's a hassle.
And in any case, I think it's highly unlikely that they'd have... We saw how this works, right? In The Bicycle Thief.
Mm-hmm.
They steal, like, they break it up into 9 different parts. They sell the parts to all different people so that it all just blends into the market. So I reckon if she wanted a stolen bike in Estonia, they'd have got bits from all over the place and they'd have sprayed it.
Do you think that's what happens in St. Andrews when bikes get stolen?
Maybe.
They have to go to Denmark to replace all the bikes. Just thinking about the relationships in the film, of which ones struck us the most. And did you enjoy the father-daughter? It just reminded me of Holy Motors when we were talking about the, perhaps that's the connection.
Mm.
The one good thing about that film was the father-daughter scene.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I love their relationship.
Complicated father-daughter. Yeah.
I just thought it was brilliant. It was just, he just wanted the best for his wee girl, but just didn't know how to deal with the emotions that they needed to work through together. And she needed someone to help her with that because she's just a kid. I thought that was brilliantly done because it was a real, real traumatic event for her.
Yeah. And it was always a sort of one step forward and two steps back thing, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Where it was just making some progress and then it would go wrong again, which I think is quite real.
Yeah. And him railing against religion, I thought that was interesting.
Mm.
But she just wanted an answer. She wanted it to make sense. That's what all the post-its were. It was the same sort of intellectual fight Otto was fighting to make sense of something. He turned it into a maths problem. She was kind of trying to do the same thing with all our post-its.
It was funny, that reflection, that we could see that her investigations weren't going anywhere and they weren't based on anything.
Mm.
But it turned out that was exactly the same for the rest of them.
Yeah.
Just chasing down this gang that had nothing to do with it.
Were you satisfied by the fact that it was all just a coincidence? I really liked it. I thought it was a good twist.
Yeah, and they sort of found meaning and invented meaning and ended up all being friends after all. Yeah.
Killing a load of gang members.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever, sort of however wild and pointless their whole thing was, it was quite something that they all got together and sort of found their peace and defeated the gang, even though they should never have been there in the first place. That was good.
Yeah. But yeah, beautifully put, by the way, Claire. Description of the... I have nothing to add at all.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm glad your opinion is right. Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that. A lot of children.
Yeah, I mean, I found something in it that you just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
As a child, but I don't know, as a parent, I don't know why I said that, but, you know.
Well,
a cat, I suppose.
Sometimes you just don't know how to talk to it. You have to be the grown up, don't you? And it's
yeah.
And you don't want to make it any worse, so you don't want to say anything. Mm-hmm. But sometimes not saying anything is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just takes someone like Leonard who isn't trying to make it okay to just say what needs said. he wouldn't know how to perform the social norms in that case, so he doesn't try to figure out what they are, just says the stuff.
Okay, one of my last points is, do you think they should have forgiven Sirius? So just as a reminder, the gang finds Sirius through Instagram because they're trying to track down the hourglass.
Yeah.
Sirius immediately says, I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
They break his fingers, so you know he is punished for his treachery. But he gets a happy ending too. He gets to be part of the gang.
Mm.
What do you think?
He needs forgiving for that?
Well, that's the debate, isn't it? If someone said, I need to find some scary biker, famed biker gang says, where's your girlfriend's house?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, but you'd know her dad's a gun wielding.
True.
Fighting man.
Maybe that's part of it.
Mm. Oh, I forgot the other part that I really, really enjoy is when they're doing the assault on the house and he throws the guns and they're all disassembled and he's like, why did you disassemble me?
Quick, get him into her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just so funny.
Yeah. Oh, and the shooting where miraculously Badashka doesn't move and he's like, I'm unhit. They all get shot having dived down.
Oh, what a fascinating character.
Well, yeah, we haven't even talked about Badashka.
He didn't really influence the story in any meaningful way. I can't think of any way he sort of moved the plot on. But
no,
he was just this beacon of kindness.
Is that kind of like path of he's suffered unbearable violence and abuse and exploitation and been sold into sort of sexual slavery, but is still this just the beautiful empath. Being. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, just he was amazing.
I really liked him.
But yes, I think the right answer is probably that yes, you should forgive Sirius because he is basically a child and that's a scary situation to me.
That he was so young.
Yeah. I definitely trust him less.
A little bit. Yeah, I wonder what happened after that.
Yeah, I'd stop taking his advice about psychoanalysis, that's for sure. It is interesting, though. I keep saying the word interesting. I'm going to stop saying interesting. It's that classic teenager wanting to seem so grown up and understand the world. And tell everyone how they're feeling and how they should be behaving. And then faced with a difficulty on his own, he was just a kid and he got scared and crumbled. In an academic sense, he knew exactly how everyone felt and what they should be feeling, but wasn't actually ready for the world.
Yeah, well, that's nice. I didn't think about that.
They were all likeable characters, weren't they?
Hmm. Yes.
Is anyone unlikable? Did we like Mads? What was his name? Marcus?
I found him unlikable.
Yeah, you got to like him in the end.
Yeah.
We didn't like the villain or any of the gang members, right?
No. Well, they were a bit one-dimensional, we could say.
Yeah. Yeah, there weren't so much characters. As
did they have names?
Yeah. Right, who were we all?
Brilliant. I was some combination of Leonard and Emmentaler, I think.
Do you think I would? I don't know why I just. Maybe it's because of the beard. Mm-hmm. Put you as Otto.
Oh, well.
I think I put Claire as Leonard.
Thanks.
Hey, can I be
serious?
Yeah.
If you want. I don't think you are serious, but.
I would definitely tail under torture.
Oh, me too, immediately. My God. Someone trying to break my finger. That sounds awful.
They're going to break my nail? No.
I was so confused there. I thought you were saying that you thought we were joking and you wanted to be serious, not serious.
Serious. Serious.
I was like, what? Why are we ever serious? Why? okay. Yeah.
So Laura is Marcus.
Am I?
Probably not.
I feel like Leonard as well, even though I just gave that to Claire.
Yeah.
I saw something.
How come I'm Leonard? How come I'm the
socialist? Maybe just in this context, when I'm looking at the dynamic of Leonard and Otto, maybe you're Otto and Michael's Leonard. There's a pair there. I don't know.
Yeah, we can be Otto and Leonard.
Oh, in that case, I'm definitely Leonard. Okay. Michael's the leader, isn't he?
I'll take Otto. Is Otto the leader?
Yeah.
I think Marcus is the leader.
Yeah, but of that pair.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Fernando's Badashka / Mads Mikkelsen.
Who was Badashka again? Oh, the Ukrainian.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I like being Ukrainian.
What was the link to the sorrow and the pity?
Oh, I forgot. I thought it was Holy Moses last. I'm totally out of it.
No.
Sorrow and the pity.
Mm.
What was that about again? No, I'm kidding. It's about something or other. World War?
Continental Europe?
Well, then I think it was about Spain or something.
People enduring torture?
Yeah.
The ambiguous response to violence that we ourselves commit. I didn't know where that sentence was ending where I started it.
That was an adventure, though. That was
good. Yeah. It's something about culpability in our own act of violence that then is internalized as deny. You know, there's a cognitive dissonance. I'm thinking about Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
Committing all those horrific acts of violence and having no ability to empathize.
Oh, well, until
shock of, well, then this is where it stops working. When that bathroom scene where he starts violently harming himself and ripping up the bathroom and punching walls and headbutting mirrors and things is the natural internalization of when there's nowhere else for the violence to go. And that's France.
Yeah. Good link. Well done.
Thanks.
Very good. Marcus is France.
Marcus is France. He's the state of France.
Yeah, this would have been quite a good one for Marcus being the only character not played by a Muppet. Possibly Marcus and Matilda. Like the core serious drama characters.
Yeah, I could totally see that. That would work.
Yeah.
So is Otto would have to be Kermit then, is that?
Yes.
100%. Yeah, Leonard is probably Ralph the dog. Emmentaler is Fozzie Bear. Sirius is definitely Beaker.
Oh.
Anyone from Matilda?
Oh, it's classically Miss Piggy, isn't it?
Could be. I think, yeah. Good work.
Oh yeah, we haven't got Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy should be the villain. Be the gang leader. They're all pigs.
Yes. Lovely. You gotta have the pigs.
Or maybe Emmentaler as Miss Piggy. There's no reason the computer nerds have to be men.
That's true.
Yeah, okay.
And we could tie in some secret romantic
wrathful
interest in Otto.
Yeah, great. Oh, I think we've done some good work there. I'll write to Disney.
Did you recognise Leonard, Michael?
No.
From Borgen. I think he was...
Is he in Borgen?
Tors Hüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhüttenhütt Kit?
No, I don't think I can hardly remember who Truls Hoogsnaheim was.
He was just the weediest, most politician looking one of the lot of them.
Yeah. Nope. No, the only one I recognised was Mads himself.
I did not recognise Mads. I'm like, where is Mads? And then when I googled the cast of Fighters of Justice, I could not believe that Marcus was Mads.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, he
does look different from other roles.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
That's close, Hergs and Herven.
You do a good Danish accent.
Thank you. It sounds nothing like how Danish people speak. I learned this when I spoke to a Danish person and tried to say words, and he was like, that's not how we talk. Because I asked if he'd ever seen Borgen, and he was like, what word do you say? And then he said, oh, Borgen. And I was like, oh, yeah, that one.
Borgen. But on the other hand, I was with Tom, who mentioned that he'd had, I can't remember if he said like a discussion or argument with his parents or something when he was a teenager, and I just went, nay, kift, state minister. And he said, did you learn Danish just from watching Borgen then? So yes I did.
How do they say spin doctor?
Is it one of the just borrowed English words?
It might just be spin doctor.
Spin doctor? Coca Pops? Yeah, I love the sort of Danish intonation, the way they say stuff. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And how they pronounce almost none of the letters in any of the words.
Like Svinderger?
Yeah, he's really good. In fucking peace, Denmark.
I tried to Google spin doctor, and when I searched Borgen spin doctor, it corrected my spelling to doctor with a K. So I don't know if they just
say think spin that doctor. Gives you a, yeah. I'm pretty sure they just say spin doctor in a Danish accent.
This is great. Well picked.
Thanks. I'm glad you liked it. Okay, I'm going to play the music. Fernando, any last thoughts?
Was this a political film? As in, on the dangers of getting vaccinated?
I don't know. It definitely said something about 5G, though, didn't it? The amount of information they had available to them.
Yeah.
Government stealing on their data.
Do you think you'd have taken part in the revenge plot?
Well, yes. No. Otherwise, there's no film.
Okay.
I'd have desperately been dragged along with it, like Leonard.
I think, was Leonard a little bit keen? Was it Emmen? Who was? I now can't remember. Like, one of them was dragging their feet a bit. I thought it was Emmentaler for some reason. In the beginning. Obviously, Emmentaler got really into it.
Yeah, Emmentaler got way too into it. Of course, I could look that up on the computer, but I don't know how I'll have time for it in among all of the extensive weapons training that we've been promised.
Good.
He was brilliant. Sorry, yeah, we're trying to stop. But Emmentaler was a brilliant character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So believable. I've met that person as well, and I'm not a computer scientist, but I still have been in the vicinity of computer scientists, and
yeah.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
Is the reason why you've met that person is because you know Michael?
Yes.
I'll take it. I don't have a leg to stand on.
Right, I shall play the music.
Great. Robin and Marion, 1976.